The Art of Demotivation. A visionary guide to transforming your company's least valuable asset, your employees. Author, L.E. Kirsten. Employees are a necessary evil. Basically, there's a myth of a make-believe world, pushing all people of different shapes and sizes into believing that they too have the stuff it takes to be an executive. This myth that has led employees to believe they're indispensable is being counterattacked through what is known as radical demotivation, which is a devised program aimed to harness the dysfunction and toxicity within organizations. Radical demotivation, which will be called RD, is a final destination to be reached. As executives follow the suggestions offered to demotivate their employees until they reach a point in where they will be productive without all the pomp that they expect from their organizations. There seems to be many benefits for applying radical demotivation. When the employee feels powerless, they will definitely be satisfied with less. This sense of being victimized by fate will make them desperately loyal to the company, decrease their self-esteem, and throw them into self-doubt. Collusions and core values. For the demotivation process to work out, executives must start out with a set of core values to be genuinely lived out. The less power an employee has, the more they will be required to execute on the company's core values. This is achieved by a collusion relationship with your employees. 1. Enlightened collusion. When both members, or at least one member, are aware of the facts but both live in a make-believe world of denial due to the irrelevance of the issue on hand. 2. Covert collusion. When both parties gain so much from the relationship that neither of them is willing to admit anything is wrong. 3. Demotivated collusion. When one of the parties has been totally engulfed by an identity thwarted upon them by another party. The motive behind this is for the executive to violate the core values, lead the employees into a collusion relationship in where they will deny the violation itself, while reaffirm the values. By doing so, your employees will begin to surrender their identity to you. Developing core values. A guideline. Outsource the development of core values to consultants. For a professional consultant can come up with more objective and appealing values to the employee. Do not anchor values to transcendent social values. Values should be stated as ambiguously as possible. Since employees can attribute different meanings to the values, thereby allowing a different agreement by others in charge. Multiple meanings make it easier for the executive to violate the values and not be held accountable. Values should be anchored to objectives over which the employee has little control. Storytelling at the office. Stories that circulate in an office are about employees and what they seek to benefit from the company. Stories reveal a victim, the employee, and the exploiter, the executive, and/or the company. In RD storytelling, the idea is to reverse these roles, portraying the employee as the exploiter and the executive as the victim. Methods of storytelling. Accredit success stories to the company and/or the executives by leaving out names of non-executive contributors. Name individuals of failure stories as direct contributors to the failure. Tell stories that emphasize employee failure, but highlight corporate patience. Tell stories of unnamed employees who carry RD qualities and only work for the sake of the company's good. 6 conversational tactics to use in RD self-narrative. 1. Minimize success stories of employees by A. Comparing that achievement with a stronger one. B. Note others who have accomplished the same. C. Attribute that success to a stroke of luck. D. Note that the achievement did not require any special skill or talent. E. Question the value of the achievement. F. If their success was coined as success from other people, then attribute their success to office politics rather than to talent. 2. Maximize failure stories of employees by A. Expressing shock and surprise. B. Note that successful people usually do not fail. C. Stress on the importance of success in the area that was failed in. D. Show the employee why they failed by emphasizing faults in their skills, appearance, character, etc. E. If their failure was coined as failure from other people, then highlight the objectivity of those people who judge the situation. 3. Make a connection between past and present failures. 4. Identify similarities with other failures. 5. Emphasize that success and failure are dependent upon fate and destiny. 6. Disconfirm someone's existence. Disconfirmation is a process that gives signals and cues to the employees that lets them realize that you see them in a different light other than they see themselves. Consequently, this will plant the seed of doubt in their self-perception. Strategies to disconfirm. 1. Learn how to express indifference to your employees. For example, ignore them throughout the day. 2. Expressing indifference by avoiding involvement. For example, never share personal information with employees. Disconfirmation by imperviousness. The following are strategies designed to distort or deny self-expression and shows employees that you view them differently. 1. Deny your employees self-understanding. 2. Express to employees that you know them better than they know themselves. 3. Give your employees embarrassing nicknames. Disconfirmation by disqualification. This type of disconfirmation comes in two forms and attacks the credibility, authority, and integrity of the employee. The two forms are A. Indirect verbal attack, attacking something clearly associated with the employee, such as an idea, suggestion, or performance. B. Direct verbal attack. Due to its offensive nature, this tactic should only be used when an employee is reaching near RD. Types of employees. Basically, any organization of more than 30 members has four basic types of employees. Wage earners, managers with little or no chance of becoming executives, managers with a chance of becoming executives, executives. Proper employee compensation plan should follow close to this. An executive's goal is to maximize shareholder value. Employees are only the vendors that sell the product or the service. Keeping employee pay low sends out a message to them just how they fare in the economical spectrum. Low pay keeps the door shut on those who are willing to say and do anything in order to reach high wages. Low pay increases job security. Low wages allow you to differentiate between those who are serious in their work and have willingness to be productive versus those hoping to sponge off more from you, the latter group thus becoming a good target for RD. High pay causes employees to overvalue their contributions. How to get started. Once you are clear on the main objective of differentiating yourself from employees, you can begin the following steps. Reclaim what has been lost in terms of resources. Make a list of items that you plan to make cutbacks on. Items should be annoying enough to employees, but not enough to make them look for another job. Share these new practices with other executives within your company or from other companies. This creates a new community of likewise-minded people as yourself. Finally, create an organizational chart of your company, using different size boxes that incorporate employee compensation into the calculation of the box size. When an executive has followed these suggestions, their employees will have reached the stage of radical demotivation, and the clear, thick line between executive and employee will have been drawn.